and the miracle of the crossing of the Jordan and the waters again standing on a heap. I can't wait for this Sunday morning when we will talk about Jericho and the walls there. Again, another miracle. And if there's time this evening, we'll give you an opportunity to share about a miracle that God's worked in your life or your experience, or an example of God's providence in your life. Either way, here at the end. Joshua 2 tonight, we're going to talk about Rahab. We were going to talk about her last Wednesday night. Got detoured a little bit. But I heard you all had a good time with that video upstairs with Brother Jerry. Joshua 2, let's talk about the rehab of Rahab. And Rahab was a woman, a harlot, could say. But this lady, Rahab, went from being a call girl to a convert in nothing flat. And faith is the answer. God rewards faith. Yes, God rewards faith with salvation, even in the guiltiest sinner. And it's a wonderful story. And let's read the first several verses. Joshua 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not or knew not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she knew the truth. Verse 6, she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, they utterly destroyed." Verse 11, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." Notice that phrase. "Give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and mother, brethren, sisters, and all that they have. Deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear." In other words, it's a deal. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father, the whole family, home unto thee." 19, "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head. if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And one last verse, she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. God indeed does reward faith. No matter who is the person who's having the faith, God rewards that faith. He rewards faith with salvation, with His salvation, even in the guiltiest sinner, even in this harlot, Rahab. As I said, she went from call girl to convert by just believing. She went from being a zero to being a hero in nothing flat. Truly, we've got the wrong title when we call this Rahab's Rehab. This was not a rehabilitation. She was not reformed or conformed. She was transformed. That's how God rewards faith, with a transformation. And as an added benefit, she became part of the line of Christ. Did you know that? She became a great, 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 great grandmother of the Messiah, Rahab the harlot. Amazing what God's forgiveness can do and what a change takes place. In the New Testament it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Not just reformed, not just rehabilitated, but transformed. Well, the story is told here, and going back over it just a little bit, let me point out a couple of highlights that we can get some good points out of tonight. Verse 1 says that Rahab was a harlot, so she's a notorious sinner. Verse 1 says that she was in Jericho, a condemned city, on God's list, the axis of evil of those days. God said, this place is going down. Verse 9, skipping ahead, shows us that Rahab had a fear of judgment. She had a fear of God, and thus a fear of God's judgment. The next couple verses, 10 and 11, she believed the report of God's greatness. They had heard, even in this land, about the great wonders that God had performed down in Egypt and in the wilderness with His people. They probably had been dreading these people coming their way, and that in no small part made them build this wall around their city. The next few verses, we see her pleading for mercy, saying, will you spare me? I have respect unto you and to your God. And she showed faith. Verses 12 through 15, we see her falling on God's mercy and showing faith in God, and that's what God rewards. Then she asks for this true token. I asked you to remember that phrase, a true token. Now, what is a true token? You won't get one at Chuck E. Cheese. What is a true token?
Just to be obligated to your word.
Okay, a true token, some kind of an assurance, some kind of a promise that's being made here. Verses 12 and 18 both mention this token. We'll come back to that in a minute. Then in 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20, she's asking for the safety of her house, her household, and that is confirmed. Verse 21, look at it again. She demonstrates her faith. She said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she put that scarlet line in the window. Here's the big thought tonight. God has a way of working through very ordinary people. God has a way of doing great works through some of the most unlikely people. Now, why do you suppose, first of all, that God would do that? And not just in Rahab, but in so many characters of the Bible, they're so unlikely.
God just shows how awesome He is.
Yeah, okay, shows how awesome God is. That's true. But I mean,
more highly of ourselves than we are. Pride.
Okay.
Give me all these for everybody else.
Pride gets in the way. You would think that God could use someone more talented, with no history of sin, you know, more pure lineage.
Yes, ma'am. You were asking a question he never got to, because I had to interpret.
Okay.
He said, I think, ask him, how come Rahab is a whore, and she knows 40 years.
The woman never found the Lord.
She was 75 years old. Why does he think Rahab is 75 years old? How does she know about the 40 years traveling and the Red Sea? How does she know all this?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she would.
She knew about the Red Sea and the Divide. And she started 40 years. How old is Rahab?
Yeah. I would say not 75.
No.
I don't know any reason to believe 75. As far as how she would hear, then I would say that it was passed down in legend, and it would just be a famous story that people would hear. Mm-hmm. That sort of miracle would get around. Unless anybody else knows some more about this, I don't know of any indication of age necessarily, but being that her father is alive here, I'd say not in her vocation. So, enough said there. Sorry to not be too much more help than that. But God does have a way of working through unlikely people, very ordinary people. He can save anyone. He can use anyone who is available to Him.
Well, I always really kind of by the old saying, He doesn't necessarily call the qualified, but He will qualify the call.
Yeah.
You know,
so He'll answer that.
If He gives you a job to do, He'll equip you to do the job, whether you think you're educated or the right person for it.
Mm-hmm.
He if you will, by faith, move and work with Him, He'll get the job done through you.
Yeah. If you'll answer His call, then he'll help you. Don't get the cart before the horse. Go to the great physician, and then He'll make you well. Don't get well and then go to Him.
But to answer his question, how Rahab and them knew, I'm sure there were people who were watching them and heard of them coming up out of Egypt. They heard the story about the sea parting and stuff. So just by word of mouth, that news traveled through, you know. And they were probably being watched as they were marching through the wilderness too.
Definitely. And our text even points out that, you know, that it was legend, that their fame, their infamy had gotten around from their victories that they'd won, and especially the Red Sea crossing. So God can save anyone, no matter what you've done. God can then use anyone who is available to Him. Some people take themselves out of the running, so to speak. They feel like God cannot use them because of their past or what they have done. And what I say to that is, perhaps you've done a lot. You just had the privilege of being forgiven for much. And take that privilege and realize you have the same clean slate that any little child who gets saved receives. Just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Well, speaking of her reputation, speaking of her occupation, what did God do with her? He did not give her a scarlet letter. No, He gave her a scarlet thread. That's the true token we'll come to here in a little bit. Now, what letter of the alphabet is the scarlet letter? What was it?
A
for adulteress. Yeah. You come to your New Testament and you see God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. The woman taken in the very act of adultery, and one of the most precious little passages of Scripture in those four precious words, "Thy sins are forgiven," no matter what they are. So, God uses this lady to save these spies, and then God is going to save this lady. Now, just parenthetically, I have to wonder how this worked out for the spies who had to return home and explain to their wives, "We were saved by a prostitute." I'm not sure how all that went down, but evidently God had a plan to get them out of that too. God used Rahab, a woman who had three strikes against her. What are the three strikes against Rahab? Strike one. Since the World Series starts tonight, here's your three strikes. Strike one. Rahab was a Canaanite. A Canaanite, not a Jew. That's a strike against her right there. The Canaanites were a wicked people. They were a people so wicked and so evil that God used Israel as a tool, as a weapon in His hand, as instruments to judge them with. That's how wicked they were. The Canaanites were idolaters, and that was strike one against Rahab. Strike two, Rahab was a woman. Strike two in those days, right there. Women at that time were often treated as second or third class people. They had very few rights and very much responsibility, very little privilege. Much like in many Islamic countries today, were women treated in those days. In many instances, they were treated as property, actual property. Yet God worked through this woman, Rahab. Now, if you're a woman today in America, be thankful that in America women are treated equally and treated very well unless running for vice president. Otherwise, you're treated really well. So, strike two against Rahab. Not only is she a Canaanite, she's a woman. Strike three is her vocation as a prostitute. She sold herself for money, and yet God sees potential in every single one of us, and anyone can be changed. The hope for change is still there as long as you are still breathing. There is that hope of forgiveness, and repentance can turn a person around, and God can then do a miraculous change inside and out. So Rahab had all of this against her, going against her, and yet she became a redeeming factor in Israel. Israel's existence. And she had one great redeeming factor in her favor, and that was her faith. Rahab's faith. She believed God. Rahab is mentioned twice in the New Testament, and it's all about faith each time that she's mentioned. Hebrews 11:31 and James 2:25 help us to understand the right relationship between faith and works. Rahab had faith, but Rahab also had works. And listen to it. Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them which believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Hebrews 11, of course, is the hall of faith, the hall of fame of faith. And Rahab, the harlot, is included there with the likes of some big names, lots of them. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." What was the difference? She believed. What was different about them? They believed not. What was different about her? She had faith in God, the true God. They did not. So Hebrews 11 talks about Rahab in the light of faith. James 2:25, the other time she's mentioned, says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" Some have seen a contradiction in these two, and actually it's anything but a contradiction. The truth about faith and works is that true faith really works. A real faith will work. And again, listen to it. James 2:25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when," or after, "she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way." So faith came first when she received the spies. Works then came as the result of that faith when she sent them away. Again, that's all that James was saying throughout his epistle, was faith without works is dead. And you want to talk about your faith? I'll show you my faith. I'll demonstrate it. Real faith really works. So faith came first. It's all about faith when you look at Rahab. Now, here's some other lessons from the story before we're done. This is applying it a little more to us tonight, thousands of years later. Other lessons from the story. First of all, think with me about the effect of faith on us today. In a sinner today, the effect of faith in a sinner. In Rahab's case, she believed the news of God's wrath. A sinner today should hear about God's wrath, and the question is, will they believe? She had heard about the mighty God of Jacob and Isaac, and they had heard about Moses and the children of Israel and Jehovah God and His works in the wilderness and at the Red Sea. She had heard about God's wrath. She had heard these stories, and she believed. Now, we need to preach God's wrath, unlike a lot of churches today that are saying, hell, that's not very positive. We don't talk about that. After all, most of us believe here. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about earth. Let's talk about life here. And while both of those topics have their area of importance, the most important thing for a person to face, first of all, is that I am not under the love of God right now. I'm under the wrath of God. And he is angry with sin and angry with sinners, and yet he loves me, and I want to be under his love, not under his wrath. Well, she believed the news of God's wrath. And you can't get saved until you get lost. She realized God was a great God, and people today, seems like, are so buried in their phone that they never see nature and God's creation, and they don't act like they believe that there's a God. And they don't see a lot of Him. They see a lot of man. You know, look at this ingenuity I'm holding here in my hand. Look at this technology. Look at all these people I'm communicating with. Look at all this entertainment all around me as I look from side to side. And then we don't take time to look up. She realized that God was a great God. She looked up. We need to do that today. She had fear because of her sin. She knew she was a sinner. She didn't have to be convinced of that. She had great fear because of her sin. She desired to be saved. Her cry for mercy, interestingly enough, just like the Philippian jailer in your New Testament, was, "And my house, and for my family too." Her cry for mercy included her family, and we should each do the same thing. Then she was given instructions. Here's what you need to do. And then she obeyed the instructions. It's a pretty simple formula, but it's hard for us humans to get it down sometimes. Get the instructions and follow them. Find out what God commands and obey. That's the formula. Somehow we mess it up a lot of times and throw a lot of other things into the recipe, a dash of this, a little of that, right? We need to follow the instructions. Obey God's directives. Well, then there was this oath given, and she trusted in that oath. And that oath, that token, as Brother Mike said a minute ago, was God's assurance. It was God's promise. The true token is God's assurance, God's promise. Today, I would say it's the assurance of salvation. Do you have the true token? Do you have the assurance of salvation? Do you believe God at His Word? Do you accept His token as a true token? Do you claim His promise? Or has the devil got you doubting and wondering? You know, oftentimes, as a pastor, I talk to people who are doubting their salvation. And what is it usually that causes us to doubt our salvation? What is it? Usually? What'd you say?
Devil.
Okay, the devil's the one who oftentimes gets us to doubt our salvation. And how does he get us to doubt it? What is it? Why would we doubt it?
To test your faith.
Okay. And why, you know, think of back to a time where you've doubted your salvation. Why did you have some doubts about it?
Because you doubt God Himself.
Doubt Him or doubt His Word? That's one reason.
Sometimes it's because of sin you committed.
I see that the most often right there, and that's what I was looking for, but these are good answers. Sin gets in our lives. And the devil whispers in our ear, you know, could a child of God really do that? If you were really saved, you wouldn't have done that. Right? He tries to tell us that about our salvation. Now, don't confuse the voices. The Holy Spirit of God says, you're a child of God and you ought not do that. It's one thing to be convicted. It's another thing then to say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, and then go on doubting your salvation, because you are doubting God, just as Perry said. You're doubting whether or not He keeps His promises, whether that true covenant, that true token, that covenant is of God, and whether He's going to stand by His word in a way. Now, I think a lot of times it's on a subconscious level that we are actually, we wouldn't just sit there saying, I'm doubting God. I don't believe God about this. But it's the way the devil mingles truth with error, and the devil tries to get us to start down a slippery slope of doubt, is really we start doubting ourselves, whether or not we could genuinely have been saved and have done this thing, even since we've been saved. The true token is God's assurance of salvation. It was that scarlet thread in Rahab's instance, and it was something that could be seen, okay? But faith ultimately is something you believe in. You can't see it with your eyes. That work of faith. How is faith evidenced? Faith is evidenced by assurance. Real faith believes when you feel like you're saved, and when you feel like you're not. Some days I get up and I don't feel real saved. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt like, you know, I just don't feel like much of a Christian? Well, sometimes I'm not much of a Christian, but the question is, am I a Christian or not? Do I believe or not? Have I been born again or not? And it's about God's word, not about my life.
Not based on feeling either.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing the devil uses against us, because we are creatures of emotion. God gave us emotion, but to say, well, I don't feel saved, feel is an emotion, it's a feeling. You just have to go beyond the other point. Yeah, I messed up yesterday, I sinned, but I'm still a son of God.
Yep.
I'm adopted through the spirit of adoption. God forgives me, and I'm going on, you know, and you just have to get to that place. But there's times, yeah, we've all been to a place where, well, I don't feel saved. Well, you just have to understand that you are saved, and forget the things of the
past.
That's
a great point. Great point. Salvation is a fact, not a feeling. Amen. And so we need to go back to the Word and back to the facts. That reminds me what you just said there of a poem I learned in college. It says, feelings come, feelings go, feelings are deceiving. My trust is in the Word of God. None else is worth believing.
Amen. Amen.
So, feelings, you know, it could be all that steak you just put in your stomach. That could be what you're feeling, or that big burrito you ate, or whatever.
All right.
Something like that. Our faith is evidenced by something like assurance. We've just gone over that. But our faith is also evidenced by works, concern for others, faithfulness to God, and Rahab had that. God blesses faith. God blessed Rahab's faith. He delivered her from destruction. He gave her a place among God's people. She left. She and her family is the only survivors. She wound up becoming Judaized. She became a convert, gained a place among God's people, and then had the honor of being in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Now, here's the final application, final thought tonight. And we're going to talk more Sunday about Jericho. But we live in a doomed city also. We today live in a doomed city too. There is today only one hope, still Jesus Christ. Let us make sure that our faith sees the way of salvation. Let us make sure that our faith accepts the way of salvation. And don't insult God. Don't insult God by asking Him to save you over and over again. Faith says, based on the Word of God, I request it. Your answer is always yes, and I accept it. Have you ever met someone who wouldn't accept forgiveness? You know?
Sure.
They wronged somebody so badly that even though that person says, I forgive you, oh, I've got to make it up to you somehow. Somehow I've got to do penance. And you see some of these people in other countries crucifying themselves or carrying a cross or laying on bed of nails or going across these coals or doing different things, piercing them through their bodies, doing these things, somehow trying to be worthy of that forgiveness. But we're never going to be worthy. What we need to do is accept it.
Amen.
Accept God's
Amen.
Forgiveness and move on.
Yes.
So, I see in the scarlet thread something special, just in the fact that it's red. It reminds me of the cross. Take that word cross, and you could make of it an acrostic. These five thoughts, C-R-O-S-S, if you want to jot it down. The C is constraining compassion. Constraining compassion. We see in the cross God's true token, a promise, an assurance, constraining compassion. The R, we see in the cross, redeeming blood. Redeeming blood. In the O, overcoming power. Overcoming power. S, saving strength. Saving strength. Another S, satisfying love. Satisfying love. The cross is our scarlet thread. We are sealed then with the Holy Spirit of promise. Again, a true token. A down payment. New Testament calls the Spirit the earnest. The earnest, like the earnest money.
Yes.
The down payment.
Amen.
Placed right in our heart. God says, I'm so sure this one's going to go to heaven that I will forfeit the down payment. If this one goes to hell, the Holy Spirit goes to hell with this one. And of course, the Holy Spirit will never go to hell. So it's all about faith and just taking God at His word, believing. Did you ask Him to save you?
Amen.
What was His answer?
Yes. Yes.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Lord, tonight we're thankful for Your cross, Your Spirit, and full assurance of salvation by way of the cross through Jesus Christ alone. Thank You for the story of Rahab and Your word, which always speaks powerfully to our hearts. We thank You for the miracles that You work in our lives, in our midst, and just the encouragement for the future that You give us through this book of conquest as we seek to claim our Canaan and claim higher ground in the promised land. Help us to walk victoriously for You, I pray. Bless our time of prayer together now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request tonight, let's go ahead and take those. Sir.
When Mike asked about any miracles in your life, I was...